Hey guys, we've got a great show for you today. We're talking about five key ways for you as dads to help your kids navigate the liturgy. How do we get them to Mass and keep them focused, keep them to where they can fully receive? Matt and I talk about the tension and then give you some tips, some practical tips to help you navigate it. Jump on in. Welcome to the Catholic Dad Show. My name's Chris.
And I'm Matt Rice, and we're just a couple of Catholic dads trying to follow the Lord, be the best Catholic dads we can, and share whatever we find along the way and share wisdom from other people as well.
We believe that Catholic fatherhood can, is, and will change the world. So let's dive in.
What do we got today, Chris?
So today we're talking about how to force your children to compel your children, gently guide your children to behave at Mass. really what it is Catholic dads at Mass. Like what does it look like? The tension is I was praying after receiving communion. It's a very holy moment in the liturgy for the individual. And my son was like basically kind of acting out a little bit, hanging on my sleeve, kind of pestering, being distracting to me, maybe being distracting to others. And I wasn't sure if I should continue to just pray reverently, which is now difficult because I got this little monkey, or if I should address it and break my prayer time to address it.
Yeah.
What's better for him to see?
Discipline or pray. Discipline or pray. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then like I struggle with that. And then I struggle with like how loud it sounds to other parents, other people around me. I struggle with even like what they do during Mass. I've got one kid that asks questions all the time and talks, you know, throughout Mass all the time. And sometimes
and half of them are relevant.
Exactly. Sometimes It's very relevant, you know, and then I've got another kid, you know, or other kids who are like after communion, they're like, can I go to the bathroom? I'm like, no, like out of all the times in the Mass to go to the bathroom, this is not the time. You know, it seems like it because there's kind of a break, you know.
And you don't have to step over other people in the pew at that moment. So that's kind of considerate, but
yeah. So we're going to talk about all that stuff today in this episode. But what do we want to tackle first? Do we want to talk about like our own kind of annoyances or like how to actually respond to those and set people up for success?
Right. So I think we talk about the tension. Catholic dads, you guys are in the midst of the tension. It's the liturgy is for you. The liturgy is for your children. The liturgy is for those sitting around you as well. And so do you step out to quiet your children because they're distracting others? Like what's the line where you're willing to disrupt your own prayer experience or your own journey? Or maybe that is part of the journey. Maybe just in this season, we're not going to get a full liturgy. Like there's times where I've been in the cry room, especially when we had the newborns and stuff like that, where I didn't hear a full homily for like seasons, like liturgical seasons.
Yeah, it was really just being present. Not necessarily participating sometimes, you know.
And there's grace in that faithfulness. Like, it's okay if you go to Mass and you're quiet in your little one to where you didn't get anything out of Mass, but you showed up because it trained your children that Mass is valuable and important, and it brought them to the liturgy. And number two, it exhibited, maybe more importantly, it exhibited your faithfulness to the Lord. Like, good for you.
And you're providing an example for other people as well. I mean, because you're not the only parent that's having a hard time at Mass. You know, but then they see you and they're like, well, they're here, you know, so I can be here too.
Right.
You know, so there's a lot of good that comes from that. Yeah.
So that's the tension that I want to navigate. And then we're also going to give five essential tips in regards to navigating the liturgy as a Catholic dad, which some of them are kind of fun and some of them are very practical.
And honestly, when we get down to it, we're probably going to give 15, but I know, we'll say we're going to give five. Maybe five will be useful for you.
But let's walk through a scenario. So you've got a child, let's say they're 4 years old, just at the cusp of being able to kind of navigate it on their own to where they should be able to sit still or maybe in a lap, in someone's lap or whatever, and they've got the wiggles. What do you do? I mean, at what point do you take them out? Maybe that's the question. At what point do you take them out?
When you say the wiggles, do you just mean the wiggles? Like they won't stop moving? Or are you talking about like they're actually making noise?
They are making noise. Yeah.
Because that's a totally different thing. And that may like maybe addressing those two differently, you know, because just the wiggles, you know, I feel like relatively easy, you know, because often, you know, like if you just, you know, ask them if they'll want to sit in your lap, you know, that might be all they need to do. You know, or whatever, or like, sometimes I make them, you know, I'll actually like in some of those instances where they're not being loud or even if they are, I'll separate whoever they're being allowed with, you know, because I've got six kids.
Yep.
You know, some of them, when they're next to each other, they're louder when they're next to each other, or even when they're next to mom, they tend to ask mom all the questions and not dad. And so I'll separate them. I'll make them come sit next to me.
Bonus tip number one for people with more than three kids or three kids or more. The only two people that don't sit next to each other are mom and dad.
Yep.
Like, that's it. You got to spread yourself.
It's so
out.
Frustrating. So, yeah. And I hate that, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one thing I don't like about it, but it is the most effective way when you've got, you know, a lot of little kids.
And I love journeying through the liturgy with my wife at my side. But just in this season, it's not happening. There will be a season where, they're the only ones in the pew with you because all your kids will be gone, graduated.
So at what point do you take them out? So that, like, we're past the wiggle part, you know, they're making noise. And I don't know if you want to talk about, like, if they're crying, you know, or whining, or they're just talking, you know, because crying is a different thing. Like I just said, with regards to talking, that's one of the things I do is I'll separate who they're talking with. But if they're crying, you know, that's a different thing.
Right.
And typically, if you get some, like, gain some experience as a parent, you can tell what kind of cry it is and how long it's going to last.
You're faking it, kid. There's no Academy Awards today.
Yeah. You know, and so you can tell whether or not it's a, you know, we're going to push through this. It's only going to last a couple seconds and then we'll be good. Or if it's a, they hit their head on the pew and they're about to start wailing and they're going to wail for 5 minutes.
Right.
You know, that when they hit their head and you have that brief moment of silence where they're just like in shock of how bad that hurt.
That's when you know it's going to be
an
alarm.
I got to go. Now. Run, run. Yeah. Ticking time bomb.
The other thing is when they're acting up, it's like the initial hit that I give them on the bottom doesn't make a whole lot of noise. It doesn't distract. But the crying because I hit them so hard really distracts those around. I'm just kidding. Yep. I don't hit my kids in the pew during mass.
I'll give a pinch for sure. Will you? Oh yeah. Like and maybe that's just because my mom pinched me.
I'm very
used to it. But you know, I'll give the pinch and then if they start to cry, I'm like, do you want another one?
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
I follow a pinch with another one. If they like, and they all know that I know they can take a breath and stop crying. They can make that choice.
Yep.
It's when they can't make that choice. Either they're too young and, you know, you've got an infant who's crying, or like you said, they hit their head, you know, and they're crying. And if I can tell it's going to be longer than a few seconds, I absolutely take them out, you know, or if it's something that's it's a repeated offense, you know, and like they cry and then they stop and then they cry and then they stop. And it's over like, you know, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes. And they've done that consistently, like every 2 minutes, I'm going to take them out, you know, because it's, I don't know, it's long lasting enough to have a big enough impact on those around me that I'm going to take them out.
Yeah. So I take out for about three reasons. One, if they're distracting others around us for more than 15 to 30 seconds, I do try and address it in the pew. I think that that's okay. Right. We're a whole community that's learning.
Yep.
So that's one. And number two, if there is an injury, right? Like there's something like they're crying and they cannot be consoled. Then I take them out. And we do have the narthex, kind of that area before you enter into the church where there's speakers there so you can hear it. There's also a cry room, but my parish has actually said the cry room, the purpose is to go calm them down and bring them back in. We want your children to be present in the liturgy, not, hey, that's the corner where we stick all the tiny humans. You know what I mean? Like, it's really cool to think about it that way, is how can I bring them back into the fullness of the community? Because children are a gift. So we have to start with that reality, even if that gift has a cross.
Yeah. All of this advice, like that we've given so far, presumes that you're a parish that wants to have kids there. You know, it presumes there's a culture, you know, that is open to families, you know, because there are, I mean, we even have masses, you know, at our church that kids aren't welcome there. Like the 7 a.m. mass on Sunday is not where they want crying kids. And you might get the stares and the glares and the looks at that mass. And you may be at a parish that's like that.
Right.
And if you are, you know, again, like this is a tip, like even before these tips is, you know, maybe talk to the pastor and maybe to the pastoral council and say, hey, what can we do, you know, to make this space a more welcoming space or to make our church more welcoming for families?
Right.
Because this is how I feel, you know, as a parent, and I know that I'm not alone. And so that's like, you know, kind of helping have that culture change, you know, and like to have a culture like your parish where they say that from the pulpit, you know, either once, you know, whatever, they may even put in the bulletin, you know, that this is the purpose of our cry room. And everybody in the parish knows that.
Yeah.
That it's not for them to just go and be away from us. We want them to be with us. They go there to be soothed and they come back.
Yeah. A church is either crying or dying. Like, yep. That's it. We have to have those younger voices. And so, especially when you're in that stage where you have a 0 to 3 year old, or that stage where you have 2 under 3, you know what I mean? Like, it's crazy having that phase. It's just, you've got to be able to move around during Mass and different things like that. So we've advocated, and this is a different thing altogether, but where we get to Mass just in time because we had to find the silly shoe of someone who couldn't find it. Now they're dressed. And then all the corners of the pews, all the edges are covered. So we have to walk past someone. Yep. We've said, hey, do you mind scooting in? We're a young family. And they're like, it's okay. It won't be an issue. I'm like, okay, well, I apologize in advance. And then the fifth time that we walk by them, because we've got tiny bladders and young people or whatever, they end up saying, how about we just scoot in? And I'm like, there it is.
There
like,
it is.
Come on. Yeah. You know? Yeah. So that was an example where the community wasn't as hospitable. And that's something that you train the community in by being consistent.
Yeah.
You are not wrong for bringing your kids to Mass. Your kids are not wrong for having the Wiggles and being 3-year-olds, 2-year-olds, 4-year-olds, whatever it is. Kind of mentioned 3 reasons to pull them. The third reason to pull them is tiny bladders. There is a season where a 3-year-old, if they say, I have to potty, you're like, yes, let's go. Because otherwise you have
potty training season. If that's what you're talking about, potty training season, it's like if they recognize that, you're going.
Yeah.
The hard thing in balancing a lot of this stuff is I don't want to reward, you know, misbehavior. And I don't want to reward, you know, I don't know, unpreparedness. You know, so when my 8-year-old, who can absolutely hold his bladder for, you know, an hour and a half or whatever, how long we're there, doesn't go to the bathroom before Mass, and then in the middle of Mass says, I need to go pee. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry. Like, you're holding it. You've got, you know, 30 minutes left. We're good. You can do it. You know, so that's like balancing all this, because if the kid starts to learn, if I just do this, I can go to the narthex.
Yes.
You know, I can do something different, you know, than sit here.
And this is bold, but I've called their bluff before.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. I'm like, Dad, I'm going to pee my pants. It's okay. We can change your pants when you get home.
Yep.
And they look at me like, what? Are you serious? I'm like, dude, if you're going to pee your pants, like, then you, next time you come to Mass, you will not forget to go to the bathroom.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if you want to play high stakes with your kids. I love playing high stakes with my kids. So, it's not for everybody.
All right. So that was the, like, when to pull them thing, and some balance around there. What are some other struggles, you know, some other tensions?
Yeah. There is that element when they're starting to distract others, but when they're not distracting others, they're just distracting your family, right? That's still a problem.
Yep.
But I feel like I can tolerate that a little bit more and shift in. Do I model, right, and stay in a reverent position and pray? Or do I shift and address the behavior? And if that's it, it feels like whack-a-mole, you know, with six kids or whatever. Yep. It's like I address this and then I'm refocused for 2 seconds. Then I have to address this and I'm not addressing it by hitting him. But, you know, it that's whack-a-mole, you know, boom, 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 boom.
Yep.
And so model or address, that's the other tension I really see.
Yeah. And I think, you know, again, that's a tension. That's a balance. You'll do one sometimes and the other times. I probably tend towards model more than anything else. When I'm praying or when the priest is praying, you know, and my kid turns to me and asks me a question, I ignore them, you know? And so that might be a mixing of the two, like modeling and addressing, you know, because they're not getting a response from me and they know why, you know, or like maybe I'll, you know, just put my finger to my lip, you know, and point to the priest and, you know, go back to my prayer posture, you know? But that's, again, I think that's attention as far as that goes. One of the things that I noticed, you know, and again, I said, we've got one kid who asks questions all the time. You know, some of them are relevant, some of them are not. But after this last Mass, you know, I think it was at the dinner table, maybe even that night, I said, hey, you know, I'm going to get you a journal and I'm going to take it with us to Mass and you're going to write down all your questions. You're not going to ask them during Mass.
Yeah.
because you talk too much, you know, through Mass. You talk the entire liturgy, you know, and my wife doesn't want to, and we don't want to not allow him to ask questions or squash that, you know, curiosity that he has about the Mass. But there's a place and a time for that. And he hates forgetting his questions.
Yeah.
You know, it happens all the time where he'll say, ooh, 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 and it's someone else is talking. And so we can't interrupt that. And then by the time it gets to him, he's forgotten his question.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that would happen during Mass. And so that's one of the solutions that we're going to try to employ is an actual like Mass journal, you know, for him to write down his questions so that he's not talking throughout the entire liturgy.
Yeah, that's a brilliant piece. And the reason why is even during the liturgy, it's helpful so that they can draw or doodle. So long as you're like, if you're going to draw something that happened in the gospel, like listen and engage. Because that's something my younger kids have really gotten focused on. We used to do quiet books and board books, things like that, that they could look at. And a lot of them have a bunch of saints and Catholic stuff, even how to go to Mass and pay attention to the liturgy. But when we started letting them write down things on paper, my older kids have the Every Sacred Sunday. My younger kids have their own little page, and it helps focus them. And we sometimes need to guide them. You're going to use this to participate in the liturgy, not to just draw airplanes shooting each other. You know what I mean? Like boys do or whatever. So I love that idea.
One of the things that I've found, you know, that is successful, you know, is not just waiting for the issue to happen in the liturgy, but anticipating what's going to happen and communicating expectations, you know, and this goes across your entire life. You know, if you don't communicate your expectations and you just expect someone to like figure it out on their own and they don't meet it, then it's on you, you know, for not actually communicating your expectations.
Right.
You know? And so if I don't want my kids to go to the bathroom during the Eucharist after they've received, I need to communicate that to them ahead of time. You know, and it may be that it's something that we need to repeat, you know, weeks, you know, at a time. But before Mass, before we get out of the van or out of the car, or, you know, maybe even after Mass, you know, for the next week, I think it's going to be better before Mass because it'll be in their memory,
fresh.
But then communicate to them like what your expectations are. You know, hey guys, this is what I expect, you know, during Mass. You know, I don't want you asking questions all the time for Mom. I want you to write down your questions in the journal. I don't want us to be going to the bathroom at any point during this Mass. You guys are all old enough to hold your, you know, pee until the end of Mass. So if you need to go when we walk in, go before Mass starts. You know, and go down the list. You know, I don't want you, whatever, different things like that. I want you fidgeting and moving around.
Want your butt on the pew while we're supposed to be kneeling.
Yeah.
Like none of that slouchy kneel thing. It's just like,
none of y'all have knee issues.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. It also requires us, and this is probably our first big tip, is like we have to pregame Mass. Like success at Mass starts with the pregame. Pregame occurs when you show up early, when you set expectations. And so we have a pre-Mass prayer, and it includes saying, Lord, help us to encounter you and share you with others. Help us to pay attention and not be a distraction to others. Like we actually ask the Lord for grace to do those things, you know? And I think that that's an important piece, but it also involves us showing up early enough to where if someone needs to go get a drink of water as we're walking in or go to the bathroom, we have an extra 5 or 8 minutes before the liturgy begins.
I think you need to share that pre-Mass prayer in the show notes for this.
That'd be great.
So that people can like copy you if they want to, you know,
we can use it as our closing prayer.
I want to have it.
We can use it as our closing prayer. We'll do a prayer and I'll share the pre-Mass prayer at the end of the episode. Yeah. But, it's super simple. So, So that would be kind of our first tip as we're diving into those things. Matt, do you want to take the next one?
No.
Okay, that's fine.
Because I don't have the list in front of me.
Yeah, Matt's in a studio and he doesn't have the same.
I don't have my readers on. I'm old.
Here's the deal. This one is probably the underlying tip. Help the children know that the liturgy, the Mass, is for them. It's not just for old people, right? And so a couple of things. One is helping them understand that we have a God that wants to interact with us, that we have a God that wants to speak to us. And God is going to speak to you, 4-year-old, you, 7-year-old, you, 15-year-old. Like God is going to speak to you in the liturgy. So be ready and be listening. He wants to share his love with you in a real and concrete way. And there might be parts of the liturgy that don't make sense. Most homilies are over people's heads if they're not yet 7-8 years old, right? Mm-hmm. And then, but that's okay. That doesn't mean that the readings or the gospel can't be something that they're engaged by. Yep. And so the liturgy is for them. Again, connect that to our first tip, which is pregame it. Yep. Start to contextualize the readings. Listen for this story about a tiny person who couldn't see Jesus. He climbed something. Tell me at the end of Mass what he climbed in order to see Jesus, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, as part of that pregame, I was kind of convicted at the conference we went to over the break. You know, the bishop said, if you're not reading the scriptures before you come to Mass, shame on you. And I'm like, shame on me.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and he said, amen or ouch? And everyone's like, ouch.
Ouch.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't know. I wrestle with that, you know, even practically, you know, like, are you going to try to do it the morning of? Are you going to do it at some point through the week? You know, it may be better, you know, and or easier to do some point during the week. At, you know, your family prayer time, you say this, you know, I don't know, every Wednesday night when we do our prayer time, or every Wednesday, we're going to read the gospel, you know, for the next week, or, you know, we read the first reading, then we read the psalm, then we read the second reading, then we read the gospel on different days throughout the week, just preparing for that liturgy on Sunday. But yeah, that was something that, you know, as far as, you know, pre-gaming, getting ready and helping, you know, our young people see that the Mass is for them. We need to, like, I think prepare them for that, you know, in a deeper way, rather than them just hearing it like on that day.
Amen. Like, we need to get them hungry for Sunday. Like, that is such a good, yeah, yeah. The last piece with help your children feel that the Mass is for them is you as an adult need to realize that as well. The yep. glares and the stares, all that, they're wrong.
Yep.
You're not.
Yep.
Your children belong. You know, Jesus said, let the children come to me. But I'm telling you, a church that doesn't have children, or a parish, that's a better way to say it, a parish that doesn't have children has about 15 years.
Yeah.
And then they're going to all start complaining because they got combined with the parish, you know, 20 minutes north of them. And that's just it. That's, well, yeah. Guess what? So you're crying or you're dying. That's it. The third one is identify points of the Mass that that interest your child, right? And make the most of them. So there are going to be a couple of points of the Mass where they're going to be like, oh, can I have a dollar to put it in the basket, right? Younger kids, mm-hmm. to do something, participate, engage. They're excited to help tithe or something like that. Some of them are really into stories, and it's like, listen to this story. This is going to have one of your favorite characters. And this is where pre-gaming it, like we talked about, yeah. is so important.
That's where like our parish started doing something during the offering. At the beginning of Mass, I mean, we've got those children bulletins where everybody, you know, can draw a picture or whatever.
Yeah.
And so they started like asking the kids to do their drawing, you know, and they said, you know, it's parents' discretion as far as how old we you let them do this. But during the offering, they take those up there and they give them, you know, basically give them to Jesus. They put them on the altar. They put their offering on the altar. So our parish has actually incorporated a way for our kids to be involved in that, you know, at the moment, like you said, where they want to be engaged, you know, yep. and then they actually make an offering of themselves rather than of dad's wallet.
Great. Which is fine either way. I mean, sometimes yeah. the whole purpose of giving them the allowance is for them to learn how to steward, you know, and tithe yeah. and things like that. Yeah.
Yep.
So encourage your kids to pay attention to those moments and then engage them afterwards as well. After the liturgy helps you succeed in regards to, okay, let's talk about it. You were really into this part. You weren't really into this part. Maybe it's because they don't understand it, right? And so how do we form them, help them understand something amazing is going on? Listen for the bells. The bells mean something sacred is happening. And yep. and then they're like, oh, the bells, you know? So mm-hmm. The next one is to include your children in the conversation. So that whole piece, it kind of touches on what we just talked about. But I think it's important to talk about, especially as they get to age 5 to 8, how are we going to navigate when you get distracted during Mass? This is beforehand, you know, and it's like, okay, when I, Dad, just put your hand on my shoulder and I'll know. Or yep. give me a little squeeze, or just whatever you do, don't pinch me, you know, whatever it is. but if they have buy-in, then I can remind my son, hey, Joseph, we talked about this. And this yep. is what we said when you get distracted. It's just two sentence reminder to a conversation they had earlier.
And you're acknowledging that we all get distracted. You know, hey Joseph, hey Isaac, you know, we all get distracted during Mass, and we sometimes we need help. you know, coming back to and refocusing.
Yeah.
When that happens with you, you know, how would you like me to remind you? You know, again, like getting their buy-in, but also like telling them that like that when that happens, it's normal. You know, yeah. Kind of not making them feel shame, you know, for being distracted, but helping them to, yeah, to refocus. I like
and guide them to the reason why we're having this conversation isn't because I want you to behave. Behavior modification is not the purpose of the liturgy.
Yep.
Interior transformation is because I know that God wants to encounter you.
Yep.
Like God desires to have a relationship with you and he wants to talk to you in the liturgy. I just want you to be in a place where you can receive that. And when you get distracted, you're actually distracting yourself from being able to receive what God has for you.
Yep.
And so I struggle. There was a moment where my daughter, and she was my second, she was really young, and she was looking around at the beautiful stained glass and all the different things in the church. But it actually made her turn around in the pew while she was looking.
Uh-huh.
And we ended up saying, you know, Francesca, turn around and sit down. And then I was like, oh no.
Oh no.
Like we're wrong. Like
that's the whole purpose of the stained glass art.
Like we just made Mass a timeout. Like every day Mass is going to be a timeout for her. And I'm like, we got to change that. And so we shifted and we kind of retrained ourselves more than retrained her. So it's okay. There's certain things that are okay and good. If the kids are fascinated by the statue, like let them stare at the statue during the liturgy and allow the sacred art to hit their soul, to hit their heart. And so it's not about behavior modification. It's about interior transformation. And there's lots of ways that churches foster
that transformation. And isn't that like the reason why churches are beautiful? You know, like even the history of the church when people couldn't understand the Latin.
And
you know,
literacy, they couldn't read.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And the gospel was really like preached through the art.
Yes.
You know, in the space. So when our kids aren't going to be able to get, you know, what's going on, like at the deeper levels, that's what it's there for. It's there for them, you know, so let them look at it, let them touch it, you know, let them, you know, yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Here's a real basic tip. Sit up close. Sit up close. The reason why is little legs can't see over big bodies. And so sitting up close means they can scoot to the side once or twice and only have maybe one or two more bodies that they have to navigate to be able to see what's going on in the altar.
Go ahead.
Well, they're picking up cups. What is Father doing right now? Sometimes they get distracted and say, hey, what's Father doing right now? Why is he wearing pink today? Why do you think? Wonder, you know, those type of things in those moments. And they start to see and pay attention. It's not the most exciting TV show if you don't understand what the characters are saying, but it's way more exciting than the back of someone's back, you know, and staring at butts. So
yeah. And the other thing is, as they get older, like they know that Father can see them. So there's a little bit more accountability there, you know, the closer you are. Like if you're in the back, Father can't see you.
And accountability and connectivity. Most pastors that I've encountered love children. And when they see them and they learn their names and things like that, they have a playful spirit. They are fathers at heart as well. So
yeah,
absolutely.
On that note, like just on the practical side of things, depending on your parish, like when we first started going to this parish, the front row was really easy to get into. There weren't people, you know, up there. Now, they've taken like a whole pew and given it for the lector. On the front row, you know, so that takes out a whole row for, you know, a young family.
Yeah.
And now if we aren't at Mass like 20 minutes before Mass starts, we're sitting in the middle or the back because our family takes up half a pew at least. And we've got another family that comes with us and we take up an entire pew and then some.
Yep.
And so if we aren't there 20 minutes at a time, and then like you get to a point where you're setting your kids up for failure when you're there like way too early.
Yeah.
You know, because they've been asked to sit and be still for way longer than is appropriate for their age, you know? And so that's, you know, something to keep in mind. So you might end up having to divide and conquer, you know, dad is going to go save seats, you know, and we'll sit on the front pew, you know, but I'm literally going to get there. I'm going to put out, you know, hymnals all the way across the pew and I'm going to sit on one end, you know, and that's where we're going to sit, you know, or you may have another family member, you know, there in town or friends there in town that can do that for you. You know, we really want to start sitting up front. Can you save this for us or whatever?
Yeah, we're in Texas. It's warm nearly all the time. And it's like, why are you bringing jackets? because I need to lay out a fleece to save pews. You know what I mean? To save seats. Like, it's just, it's so funny. So, good. I know we're almost out of time, so I want to give you guys the last tip, and I think it's the most vital. Sunday Mass and Mass, the liturgy, is how we practice our faith, not how we perform our faith.
Yeah.
And so practice, it's not perfection. So if there's things that are imperfect and things like that, be okay with it. You get another chance next Sunday, right? Yep. And so do not allow the shame monster or the glares or other people leave you feeling like you are not welcome at Mass. Guess what? Like, practice makes perfect. We're going to try again next week. And don't be afraid to throw that in someone's face if they come up and be like, you know, your children were really distracting today. It's like, oh yeah, you were sitting back there, ma'am. I was right next to him. I know. I'm very well aware. But guess what? Practice makes perfect. And this is how we all practice our faith.
Well, your, and patience, I've even, like,
your patience was a bit distracting just now, ma'am. You know, whatever. So.
I've even, you know, in those moments asked them, what, like, next week, could you come up and sit next to us and help? You know,
That's an amazing response, Matt. Like, the, yeah, know, let's be the solution.
Yeah. You know, and I like to be the example of that in Mass. Like, when there's another family who's having a hard time in front of me, I interact with the kid. You know, I'll do things because, like, it's funny because if I don't know them, like a stranger, like tapping them, like, or whatever, like in a playful way or whatever, like that will stop like whatever noise they're making immediately. Cause they're like, you know, who are you, you know? And that can be a good thing, you know, or I'll make faces at them or different things like that. And my hope is that signals to everyone else around me that they're welcome here. I'm happy that they're here and I'm going to help, you know, and hopefully that gives us the example for everyone as well. And so that's just something to pay attention to. The last thing I have, and it's an image, you know, a photo, whatever, but that I've been wanting to make for years. And like, if someone else has put it out there, maybe it's already out there. And maybe Jennifer can do it on Instagram. Like, she's good at this kind of stuff.
She's so good.
But the image of like that, was it Ant-Man fight scene up in his daughter's room in that Marvel movie? I think it was Ant-Man.
Yeah.
They're having this battle on this like toy train set. And when it zooms into their perspective, it's like loud, massive explosions, you know, and big booms. And then when it zooms out, it's just this little pip, you know, like it's just this tiny little thing, you know. And
right.
So that's that's what it actually is. When, like, very often you hear as a parent this loud, massive explosion, the people right behind you hear pip, you know, but we have this perspective that's off.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's guilt or shame or I don't know, like this, but it's not as bad as you think it is.
I mean, that's a beautiful perspective. Everyone is focused on the liturgy. You're the only one that's focused on your kids. And so it does become a sidebar conversation, peanut gallery, that's really easy to ignore because something so much more compelling is going on. So yeah, don't forget that perspective. Awesome. Yeah. Hey, Catholic dads, thank you so much for journeying with us. We had some great little pieces. We'd love to hear what your thoughts are. What's your biggest tip or trick? Do you bribe them? Do you threaten them? Do you feed them? Yeah. Do you take them to daily Mass and all of a sudden kind of train them in that way? Like, what are some of your tips? Go ahead and post in the comments below. You can also hit us up at chris@ablaze.us or matt@ablaze.us. If you want to just argue with us, we're happy to do that. And give us some thoughts or suggestions as well. Matt, any other closing thoughts from you?
No. You're going to pray us out?
Yeah, that's right. So let's go ahead and turn to the Lord. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And Jesus, we thank you so much for the gift of the liturgy and the ways that you seek us. We ask that you would anoint our next time at Mass with our kids, that they might encounter you in a full way, that they might receive their full portion. Lord Jesus, we don't just pray for behavior. We change for transformation. We pray for transformation of heart. Transform our hearts and transform the hearts of our children as we seek you at liturgy every day. So this is the prayer I pray with my kids, and they just repeat after me. We do this as we're driving into, there's a left turn that we have to make, and it's about 2 minutes from the left turn. So as we're making the left turn, Jesus, and my kids respond,
Jesus,
help us encounter you.
Help us encounter you.
At Mass today.
At Mass today.
May we know you.
May we know you.
And make you known.
And make you known.
May we be able to focus.
May we be able to focus.
So that we can receive.
So that we can receive.
All that you have for us.
All that you have for us.
And may we not be a distraction to others.
And may we not be a distraction to others.
And then I ask the boys to lead the Our Father and the girls to lead the Hail Mary. And then we're in the parking spot. So it's just real simple, but it's like essentially our behavior code turned into a prayer asking Jesus for the grace of our behavior code. So whatever standards you guys have, feel free to work that into a prayer and invite Jesus onto your team as you navigate the liturgy with your little ones. Thank you guys so much for joining us today at the Catholic Dad Show, where we know Catholic fatherhood is changing the world.
Amen. God bless, guys.